Revelation chapter 12. Revelation 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child, and to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, again, we claim the promise that there is a blessing here for hearing and heeding, keeping this precious portion of thy word, cherishing it in our hearts. And now may the Holy Spirit of God open this word to us. Cause our hearts to burn within us as thou in thy word dost talk with us in this hour. Bless our children in children's church. Bless the babies in the nursery, those who are with them. And Heavenly Father, may heaven come down and glory crown the mercy seat, that thy people may rejoice in God our Savior, for it is in his precious name we pray. Amen. One look by way of review, and just a word from the first chapter. In chapter 1 and verse 1, there are 2 significant words that help us to understand as we come to this particular portion. Revelation 1 and 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Two words, show and signified. Now, this revelation is shown to John, and it is shown in picture words that appeal to the spiritual heart, the one who loves the Lord and believes his word. It is shown, and it is a picture book of this which is revealed to us. Now, it is the Lord Jesus who is revealed, but it is also his work at the present time that is revealed. Now, during the first 11 chapters, we have noticed the activity of our Lord, the Lamb of God. Now we come to some great wonders. Let's notice the word wonder itself for a moment. The word wonder is the same, actually, as the word sign. Both of them mean that there is an indication of a fact. It is not a cover-up, but it is an opening and a revelation of a fact. Again, it is a spiritual fact. And so, when we come to the 12th chapter of the Revelation, we are coming to a revelation of the spiritual world. Ephesians chapter 6 says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Those who know not the Lord cannot see the picture. It does not mean anything to them. The enemy himself cannot actually see this picture. But those who believe the Lord and who love him and want to follow him and obey him, they see what the Lord is doing. The Lord takes aside the veil and helps us to see by these picture words exactly what is going on in the spirit world. Once in a while, we'll hear somebody use a word like this: "I believe in the literal meaning of Scripture." And then we have to ask them, what do they mean by literal? Because generally, when a person says he believes in the literal, generally, all he is saying, and this, of course, is the reason why there is so much confusion, all he is really saying, "I believe that this is a physical or a material picture." But the most reality, actually, we would have to say that all reality is spiritual reality. So a thing is literally true when it is true in the spiritual world. Let me give you one verse of Scripture. In Corinthians, it says, 2 Corinthians 4, it says, "While we look not at the things that are seen," isn't that interesting? "We look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are unseen." Now, see the words? We look not at the things that are seen. That is the temporal things, the material things. We look not at the physical things that are seen, but at the things, the spiritual things that are unseen. for the things seen are temporal. In another place it says, the world is passing away and the lust thereof. This present physical world is passing away. But the things unseen are eternal. This, of course, helps us to understand why there ought to be a priority of emphasis on the spiritual rather than on the physical. In the world, men will say, I believe it because I see it. But the Lord says, we see it because we believe it. It's the exact opposite. Our eyes are opened by faith, and we see. There was a young man who served Elisha, the prophet. The enemy was the Syrian king and his army. Elisha had been informing the king of Israel what the Syrian king and his army were doing. Kept on informing him. And finally, the Syrian king decided that he would arrest and muzzle Elisha. So he brought an army, and with brazen audacity, he came right to the edge of the city of Samaria, to the little cottage where Elisha lived. And his servant came and said to him, oh, my Lord, we're sunk. Look at the chariots and the horses. Look, we're finished. He has caught us finally. This is it. And Elisha stayed where he was, and he said, Lord, open the young man's eyes. And when he opened his eyes, he saw the hills all around in a great circle, the chariots of God. They were there all of the time, but he couldn't see them. Now he sees them. And this makes the difference. In this chapter, we begin to see certain things. In the next chapter, which is later, we will see the nature of the conflict we're in. Here, we look at the conflict itself, the spiritual conflict that we are involved in, and see how it begins. There appeared a great wonder in heaven. That is a fact, an unusual occurrence. It is not usual. It is not in the course of nature. It is a picture. And this is a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. First time we see not the woman, but the sun, the moon, and the 12 stars are in Joseph's dream that he has. And it was interpreted that it had to do with the family of Israel. And again, it does. But in this instance, not an individual, but the remnant, the holy remnant of Israel. When our Lord came, and for the beginning of his life here upon earth, there was a holy remnant. We know some of them. Perhaps we do not know all, but we know a few of them. For instance, there was Anna. And she spake to all of those who were looking for the coming of the Lord. There was a holy community. Zechariah, Elizabeth, and Joseph, and Mary. There was a messianic community, a sacred remnant. There were saints of God. Nathanael, one day, was approached by Philip because he was looking for the consolation of Israel, and Philip says, we have found him. He was one of them. There was a sacred little community. In the 11th chapter of Romans, it uses this phrase. It says, even now there is a remnant according to the election of grace. I say again, God is at the present time dealing in an open and a forthright manner with the nation of Israel. But he has always cared for and kept his remnant, his saints. When we finish this chapter, at the end of this chapter, as we read just a few moments ago, the dragon makes war against the remnant of the woman's seed. Now, again, this is not talking about a Judo-Christian connection. This is talking about the saints of the Old Testament who were looking for the coming of the Lord, and the saints of the New Testament who recognize and declare that he has come. Maranatha. To the world, Maranatha means nothing. To the saints of God, it means everything. He came, he will come, our Lord and Savior. So the woman, in Galatians said that our Lord was made of a woman, made under the law. He came to a special community of saints in that holy nation, that separated people, the godly. Simeon was one of them, looking for the consolation of Israel, and he recognized the Savior when he came. Now, she is with child. And the marvel of it is that the whole earth life of our Lord is flashed past us. Everything. His birth, his baptism, his crucifixion, his resurrection, and his ascension, all of them are brought together, and he goes through them all, and the dragon is waiting. That's the other wonder. There is a dragon. Now, another passage of Scripture will tell us the devil doesn't look like a dragon to people. Oh, no, 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 no. It is a caricature of the devil to paint him in a red suit with a forked tail and horns. That's a caricature of the devil. He's glad that we do that because that makes him a funny character. He looks like an angel of light to men. He deceives. He is a deceiver in every sense of the word. He looks so plausible. The ones he deceives are those who love not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. But he deceives them. But what is he really? He's the old serpent. He's the devil, the destroyer. He is the enemy, the malicious enemy of God's people. His great intent was to destroy the Christ of God. Look at the attempts that he made. First, he sends Herod, and Herod attempts to kill him, but misses. And then no one knows him. No one knows the Christ. And 30 years go by. No one can point him out. John said, I knew him not, who he really was. But then one day at the baptism, it suddenly came out in the open. Then the Lord faced the enemy, and Satan had to leave him for a little season. But at the cross, and if you were to read Psalm 22, you'd see how powerful this is. Satan felt he had won at the cross. But he didn't win anything at the cross. He lost everything. He came, but he could not even claim the body. That body was kept, and Peter talks about it, that his body was not even allowed to suffer deterioration, the holy body. And then, after appearing to his own, he was caught up to heaven, our Lord. And the Scripture says in Thessalonians chapter 4, that we will be caught up in the air. The same word is used. And here are the ways in which this is spoken of our Lord. He was taken up. He was carried up. He was received up. He has gone up into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Our Lord came and as the sacrifice for sin won the fight. Fear not, little flock. Fear not. And then he ascended to the throne. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 said, when he had made satisfaction for sin, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty in heaven. I love that picture of Stephen. He said, I see Jesus standing. And the first chapter of Revelation shows that he is walking in the midst of his churches. He is the reigning Lord, but he has a personal relationship with his people. He is personally receiving his people. Talk about all of the saints of God who have gone. Thessalonians says they sleep in Jesus. And they will be coming back with him. But in the meantime, now when he ascended to heaven, it tells us that the dragon was removed out of heaven. Oh, just a word, and that's all we'll take right at this point. Just a word. You remember, there are three heavens. The first heaven is the air, the firmament. That's the first heaven. It's called a heaven. The scripture sometimes speaks of the heaven of heavens. I was caught up to the third heaven, Paul said. The second heaven is the stellar heaven, the stars, the space, the outer space. You remember when Russia's cosmonauts traveled in outer space, they said, we saw no God. Of course not. Because their eyes were blind by unbelief. Of course they did not see God. No one sees God who does not believe God. Eyes are opened by faith. When Glenn and others have gone into space, they've all said, those that went to the moon and all, they said, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Everything pointed to God for those who believed. The third heaven is the throne. Now, Satan has never been at the throne. We saw the throne in the fourth chapter. Satan's not at the throne. He never has been there. He wasn't there in the book of Job. But he did have access to space. That is the universe. He moved about. In fact, in this 12th chapter, it says that his tail draws a third part of the stars. That is, he is big enough that he was attracting greatly. He was very, very powerful. But not, remember, he's a created being, so he was under God. And now there is war in space. And Michael, the archangel, and his angels war with the devil and his angels, the dragon. And the dragon prevailed not. That is, he did not win the victory in that fight. And he was cast down unto the earth. Now, the Lord speaks in the scripture about the devil being the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And he is the god of this world. In one passage it says, the god of this world, talking about Satan, he blinds the eyes of those who believe not the truth. He blinds their eyes. So, Satan was removed from his ability to travel in space, and he was limited to the earth, the firmament and the earth, the air. Now, the last scene of the battle, which we do not see this morning or even tonight, the last scene of the battle, we meet the Lord in the air. in the very realm of Satan, we meet the Lord when he comes in the air. We do not meet him in heaven. We meet him in the firmament, which is called heaven in that sense. Now, when Satan is cast out of space unto this earth, there is a great statement made about it. It says in verse 10, a loud voice, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God, because the accuser is cast down. That is, his ability to accuse the saints of God has been forfeited, limited. Now, whatever accusation he makes, it has no more effect. The 8th chapter of Romans shows that. It tells us plainly, who is he that condemns? It's God that justified, Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. So our champion is ahead of this situation. There's the first point that's very precious to us, but woe to the inhabitants of the earth. And why? Because the devil is here with great wrath, knowing that he has but a short time. And the word short time here means that he is on borrowed time. That's all. He doesn't know how long it is, but he knows that it is past time for judgment. He has been judged. Romans 16 and 20 say positively that the God of peace will bruise Satan under our feet shortly, which means here on this earth, the last defeat of Satan will take place by the saints of God. And because the God of peace will do this. At the present time, we are told that we are to be wary, watchful, prayerful. We are to be diligent, because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Now the woman, the remnant, the holy remnant, even now there is a remnant according to the election of grace, that holy remnant is protected. Now here's the wonderful way in which the Lord protects his remnant. First Peter shows it. He plants, and the word used is scattered. He plants the seed of his remnant in the earth. It's scattered. You can't get at it with one consecutive or concerted effort. You cannot get. You see, say you had some seed corn, and you were getting ready to plant a crop, and so you put it all in the seed house, every bit of it. And a tornado came along and blew the roof off your seed house. All your seed corn would be wasted, every bit of it. But supposing it were scattered in many, many places, hidden in many places, if part of it were taken, the rest is still there. Now, this is kind of the picture that the Lord uses. The devil persecutes the remnant. He persecutes the saints, but they're scattered. They're everywhere. They're all in a little group here and a little group there and a little group over yonder. In all the different places, the saints of God. Where you are is the place the Lord put you for two reasons. One, to testify, and two, to preserve you, to keep you. See, here's the thought that we have escaped. Now, this doesn't fit here too well, but I'm going to bring it in. The thought that we have escaped too well is we think that the Lord delivers us from tribulation and affliction and everything like this by taking us out of it. No, no. He does this by giving us strength and by covering us where we are. Right in the situation, it says, hide you till the storm be overpassed. So the Lord puts us in a safe place. In the book of Job, there is one of the finest pictures of how the Lord protects his people, and it's about one of the little helpless animals in our world, in our creation. It's talking about the tiny little deer, tiny little things that cannot protect themselves. And when they give birth, the Lord sends a storm, and the lightning and the thunder drive away the predators until the little tiny life has been birthed and strengthened. The Lord takes care of His own, not with force, but with covering. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. That brings us to the final thought that is very important for us to see, and that is always in this spiritual warfare that's going on, there is a victory. It's found in verse 11. They overcame him, that's Satan, the dragon, and all of his efforts. That's true in heaven, that's true on earth, that's true anywhere, and at any time, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives to the death. This is the word of testimony. This is the word right here. This is the weapon. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication. This is the weapon of our warfare that He has given us. And our attitude is one of faithfulness to our Lord. Faithfulness, you see, the enemy has one special cudgel against human beings. They're afraid to die. Man has that, shall I say, an innate fear of death. But Hebrews chapter 2 says the Lord has taken away from His people the fear of death. And they're no longer subject to death. So when the enemy persecutes and he says, I will take your life, and many a saint of God said, oh, you can take my physical life, but that's all you can take. You can't touch me. I belong to the one who holds my spirit in His hand, and I believe in the resurrection from the dead. So then Satan has lost that one control, that enslavement over the saints of God. Saint of God, if you accept your salvation as wholly of God's grace, and He has saved you eternally, you're already standing on firm foundation. You're already standing where you're ready to be faithful unto death. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives to the death. Who is it that overcomes? Verse 17 says who this is. Those which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is the word of our testimony. It's the testimony of Jesus Christ our Lord, His precious word. Oh, thank God. Ah, yes, it's a real battle. Our warfare. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. In any day, in any hour, Satan is an enemy. And the Lord says, watch, then be sober. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Stand firm. Obey my commandments. Walk with me. And the wonder of it is, though our Lord is enthroned in heaven and He is King of kings and Lord of lords, He is our bosom companion. And we're in Christ, and Christ is in us, the hope of glory.